There are so many reasons why I got into teaching.
One of the best things is the light bulb moment.
When you see a pupil suddenly understand something, that's really, really special.
Every child is so full of potential, and the thing that makes me proudest to be a teacher is seeing them realise what they are capable of.
I don't think any other job can give you the same satisfaction.
That's why I chose to teach.
You could get £26,000 tax-free to train. Search, apply to teach. Selected subjects only, subject to eligibility.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Ladies and gentlemen. Worldwide. Podcasting since 2005. You're listening to Gamertag Radio. With your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Here we go. Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 591. This is your host, Danny. And joining me this week, the co-host of GTR. Let's start with Paris.
He's muted.
Your skills.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Okay.
We know already.
I'm an idiot. I'm here. Just keep it rolling. I'm dumb. All right. What's going on, everybody?
All right. And also joining us, Pete.
What up? Good morning, people.
Good morning, man. How's everything with you guys, man?
Mad. Angry.
Okay. P is mad.
I got a case of the Paris.
Paris, are you also mad?
Wait a minute. What does that mean?
You always salty and angry, dude. So no, that's not true.
I'm a happy person.
Unless you're sliding down the waters of Lake Minnetonka, you're always salty and mad.
Nah, Paris tweeted something positive today, which I was like, all right, that's good, man. Something very cool about him and his son kicking butt on Destiny. Woo!
That's right. Space magic, baby. Warlock life.
That's awesome, man. Man, but so you guys are getting excited, man, for the new expansion pack.
Oh, we're ready. Yeah, we're hyped. We're ready. Like, I'll just say it right off the jump. I haven't even played Titanfall 2 because I just played Destiny all weekend with my son. But he played Titanfall 2, but we'll talk about that later.
Yes.
I've been playing it too, man, on both consoles. I think I've been playing more on the PlayStation 4 version because I'm level up more there. But I'm having a great time. What about you, Pete? You've been playing it?
Yep. Yeah, well, having a great time when I can get in with a party. If I'm just running around lone wolf style, oh yeah, it's drop in, drop out, have a good time. But yeah, that's my concern right now. But understanding that this weekend and next weekend coming up is purely a technical test, specifically to in an attempt to prevent this come launch. And I'm fairly confident that between EA and Respawn, that they'll be able to figure this out.
Definitely.
They've grown leaps and bounds over the last couple of years, so I don't think it's going to be as big of an issue. I'm still kind of questioning the whole networks concept because I don't know if maybe that's what's causing the issue, and it's trying to maintain these multiple connectivity points for each player as they come in. And I guess we could describe that real quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
well, let me do my intro.
Oh, of course. Why do we even do the intro anymore at this point? Because we just keep going right into the talk.
Yeah, because there's a lot of new listeners that finds us and like, and it's good to do a little quick intro and that's it. Sure. So head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. You listen to our older episodes over there. Or head over to gamertagradio.com? Yeah, I did mention that. Okay. All right. Call us 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. Email us fanmail@gamertagradio.com. Or you could also go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio and you could leave us a message over there.
Okay. So the whole concept of networks in Titanfall 2 is, besides just the general playlist of people that that Titanfall 2 can select from to play into games, you can create, I guess, like an internal community called a network, obviously. So let's say right now Danny's got the Gamertag Radio network. You can join that and you can send an invite to the entire group right from that little menu piece. So what I was mentioning earlier before the intro was that, let's say you jump into a game and you want to send out an invite to all of the people in your team, your slash clan, or, you know, however you want to call it. So you're sending out an invite to everybody within that network so that they can join your game or you can join theirs, etc. I'm curious to know if maybe because the system is trying to maintain multiple connections to everybody, because you can be in more than one network. So I could be in a, you know, 4-3 Danny group. I could be in a Gamertag Radio group. You can be in the stand in the open group that everybody is a part of as part of the default package of the game. So now it's got to maintain three different connections to you, and making it more difficult is when you're in a private party, because then you've got to maintain a separate connection, kind of like, you know, for the voice and audio stuff. So I'm wondering if maybe that's what's causing the connectivity issues now. And, you know, with today, you know, obviously we're recording this on Sunday. Wondering if maybe that's something they'll hopefully be addressing and taking into account throughout the week while they implement their fixes for next week's tech test too. So just other than that, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, once you're in the game, it's nonstop fun. I've been loving Bounty Hunt. I've really gotten...
Oh, Bounty Hunt is good.
Yeah, I've gotten a lot better. And with the understanding of the game and mechanics, game flow, and actually character control while playing it, being able to... Because before I would just like throw out the grappling hook and fail miserably because it would just like... It would hit it and then my character would just slam into the wall and then just let it like pick up my limp body until I woke up and kept running. But now I'm able to successfully chain them, you know, back to back and swing with it as opposed to just using it as an up down mechanism. So I'm having a lot of fun with it, dude. And I don't know about you, Danny. I know Paris has said he hasn't had a chance to jump on it, but he saw his son play it. So I'm interested to know what you guys and how your experiences have been.
So far I've been having a blast with Bounty Hunt. That's like so far my favorite mode. Like the three that's available here in the tech test. Yeah, I've been having a blast, man. I think, I was thinking about that too, Pete, about the whole network thing that they have in the game. Because every time I go to a larger network that I join, it also takes a long time to, and there's a lot of people playing. Because you could, like when you're about to play a match, depends on the game modes, it'll tell you how many people are already actually playing at the moment. And I was wondering, like, why this thing is taking so long to just find a match. And it could be that too, trying to connect other networks at the same time. So let me ask you this, Pete. Do you think the concept is a great idea, or do you think that they should just remove that in general for the retail version? Because at the same time, I think I like the whole play with your community. You know, if Giant Bomb creates their network, or NeoGAF and the other websites, I think that concept is pretty cool, because we don't see that with other games.
I do. I like it. I would say maybe limit that, because if you're trying to maintain connectivity to multiple networks at a time. I mean, granted, you do have the option to select your primary or default network. So, and again, you know, this is all speculation. I mean, I what do I know, right?
Yeah.
It's possible that, you know, when you select default network, you know, it's only maintaining connectivity to those, but maybe it's just a matter of beefing up the infrastructure to support the additional bandwidth or connectivity required to maintain, yes, those things. I don't know. Maybe it's just some retuning. You know, maybe they need some networking security engineers. Huh, Paris?
Maybe so. Yeah. I don't live too far away.
Yeah. But Paris, I know your son got to play a few times. You got to see him, you know, while he was playing and stuff. Yeah, your thoughts very quick?
Yeah, I mean, and just overall, because I'm sure that someone's typing an email as I talk, why haven't you played yet? You're still playing stupid Destiny. But we played it at E3, and we got an extensive hands-on with it at E3. So I know the game, right? And it's Titanfall. It plays similar to the originally did. So look, they already got my money day one. So there wasn't this burning desire that I had to play the beta to get my first chance with Titanfall. But my son was the opposite. He obviously hadn't had a chance to play Titanfall 2 yet. So he jumped on and I just watched him play. And I mean, the game looks great. The features, you know, what did you call it? The Bounty Hunt. I think my son was playing that. And I mean, he was having a blast. He had a lot of fun with it. I don't let him talk to people online unless I'm online. So he wasn't coordinating with people, but he was having fun. It looks smooth. It looks great. Look, they got my money. I'm in. I'm already in. Mm-hmm. So like Pete and you were saying, this is a tech test. I mean, I was seeing some people complain online about various bugs and I'm not getting it now because this didn't work or that didn't work. But it's like, dude, this is the point of this. They're to fix these issues that you're complaining about. So give them a chance. Let this beta or tech demo test, whatever you want to call it, be exactly that. This is not the final day one product. This is so you can have these issues addressed during the summer so they can get them resolved. So by the time it comes out in October, everyone's happy. You know, like I said, exactly. The biggest one's going to be, you know, with just building up that infrastructure on the network side to make sure that everyone has a smooth online experience. Look, EA does not want to repeat a Battlefield 4. Because that was a debacle when that came out a few years ago. So this is the reason that they're doing this, you know, and it's smart. It's good. So I'm excited. And we were looking on the PlayStation 4. I have not seen the Xbox One version yet, but PlayStation 4 version looked fantastic. And for those that are asking, I will not be getting this on PC. I'll probably get it on PlayStation 4 just for the simple fact I'll play with my son. You know what I mean? So it just makes more sense to get it on the console than on the PC because I'll play with my son.
Yeah. I mean, enjoy now because I know the servers are going to go back online this Friday. And then after this is Battlefield 1 beta by the end of the month, August 30th, I believe it's coming out.
Same exact scenario. So, they want to make sure that the infrastructure is right so everyone has a good online experience. So
definitely. It's going to be fun. Lots of fun. All right. So very quick, let's talk about this interview with EA's Peter Moore. He talked about this during an interview with Eurogamer. He said that he's not sure that video game press conference is going to have a future. And, you know, I think that he's right. We've been talking about this now for a couple months. Even before E3, we talked about this too. I know they had a special event during Gamescom, but there was no major announcements and people were disappointed with that. This is more of them showing the games. Actually, I'm talking about EA. EA was just showing their games that's coming out this holiday, especially Titanfall 2 and also Battlefield 1. So your thoughts, guys? I mean, we talked about this for a while now and people were calling us crazy, especially you, Paris, because you were the first person that brought it up.
Yeah, I mean, just going back to what we're saying, I don't see a point for this anymore. And I know people get mad when I say that because, you know, it's something that's been a part of our lives for over a decade now with these video game press conferences. But what's the point? What's the point? There's no point to doing this anymore in the current social media age with Twitch, with Twitter, YouTube, and the ability for these publishers to just simply do their own thing when they feel like doing it. Why are they being locked into making these announcements at an E3 or Gamescom or PAX or something like that? They can do it whenever they want. And like I keep saying over and over, PlayStation Experience is the template for this. Sony does their own thing on their terms, and we all come to them. And they own the news cycle for that weekend. And they get all their announcements out and they get everyone excited about everything PlayStation. It just makes sense for more of these publishers to do their own thing. We saw EA obviously experiment with that by not even attending E3, but just being at LA Live. And you remember, we were shocked because they did the thing on Sunday, Monday, and then it was like, you know, by Tuesday, we're seeing nameless EA employee just walk around the E3 sofa. I was like, wait, he's like, oh, we're done. We're out.
Yeah, we packed up
and went home. We said what we had to say. We showed what we had to show and we're done. And it's like, oh, wow. I didn't even get a chance to go over to EA Play because I thought it was going to be during the whole week. And yeah, they were done. So but EA still got their message out is the whole point that I'm making. I still got hands on with Titanfall, Battlefield 1. We saw all that stuff. So the point goes back to why do it at E3? So what Peter Moore is saying makes a lot of sense. They can dictate their message on their terms.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that Microsoft and Sony should also cut down the press conferences? I mean, I think that
yes.
But hold on. Certain situations, I think they should have a press conference. If it's like a major console, new console coming out, or big, big news. But if it's something like E3, maybe they should. But then after that, like, what's the point of having them having multiple press conferences during the same year? I just think that it doesn't make sense
at all. Here's how I look at it. September 7th, Sony's announcing Neo outside of the conference news cycle, right? They're doing it on their own terms. Scorpio, if you go back to original Xbox One, Xbox One was not announced at E3. It was announced before E3 at the Microsoft campus. I will not be surprised if they do something similar with Scorpio. They announce it on their terms outside of E3 to have to, again, own that news cycle. Then E3 is just where they show their games. And going back to the original question, if that's the case, do we really need the big glitz and glamour, you know, E3 showcase thing that they're doing? I mean, again, if you take it back to what Nintendo has done with Nintendo Direct, they basically saying, why are we wasting all this money at E3? You know, and again, I don't want to just keep saying the same thing over and over, because I mean, basically Peter Moore is kind of confirming what I've been thinking all along. But the point is, no, I don't think Sony or Microsoft needs to do these huge E3 press conferences anymore, because they can just do it on their own terms and they have the resources and everything to do it. And if anything, it's probably cheaper to do it that way for them. Do it at the Microsoft campus. You invite all the media up there to the Microsoft campus, do it on your terms. Everyone goes home and then they put all their coverage out online and social media and everywhere. And we all still get the same thing that we would have got if we were sitting there at the press conference at E3.
And here's one thing that we got to think about, too. You know, the money that EA didn't waste at the conference at E3 this year, that money that they have, which it was cheaper to rent a location and have invest on more like.
We're speculating, Danny. I'm sorry. None of us have had a chance to look at those EA books. So
no.
Speculation.
No, I'm just, guys, it's just me concept. Like, I feel that invest that money more for the consumers, for marketing, for a bunch of other stuff, which is going to be cheaper than actually renting a place at E3. I mean, personally, this is my opinion. It's not like confirmed or anything like that, you know? So it just makes sense, you know? Because if you walked around during EA Play, you got to see a lot of the fans lined up. They got their goodies. They're like excited about the games, and they got T-shirts. They have all types of cool stuff, man, as swags, you know. So they can invest more money on that, on the consumers, because you know what? When they attend this event, they're gonna get excited. And this is like their first time attending. This is like their E3. So the message is going to go around, but in a positive way, like, man, this is pretty cool. You guys got to come and attend next year's event and so on. So that's just my opinion. So anything else, guys?
No, I think that's it for that subject.
So I'm excited this week, finally getting my brand new Samsung Galaxy Note 7. And I mentioned this to the guys before we recorded. And one thing that Paris mentioned, it's like, man, was it P? I can't remember exactly. I mean, you spend a long time to upgrade to a new phone. Because my older one, I have a Galaxy Note 4. Now, the reason why I didn't jump and bought Note 5 when it came out is because I'm getting tired of the whole upgrading every year. So it's better to buy one and maybe 2, maybe 3 years from now, buy the next one. And I just feel that I hope it's not the same with the whole gaming systems upgrading every year, every 2 years, because I would rather just wait until it's the right time for me to upgrade. Because like for you guys, I think you guys are in the same situation with PC. You guys are constantly upgrading your PC. Am I right or not?
To an extent, yes. I mean, it's not like I'm going out and buying new CPUs or whatever, but I mean, it's gotten more and more prevalent over the last year or so, you know, jumping from the old 5860 to a 970, and then a year later getting the 1080. But I don't see myself making that kind of an upgrade leap in the following year. I just bought a new, actually, you know, just converted from, you know, from Android, jumping from the Nexus 6 over to the iPhone 6S Plus. I've seeing the new news now, you know, having gotten the iPhone so close to the release of the iPhone 7, part of me has that twinge of, oh, you know, you just sell it up on Swappa or something like that and go buy a new, you know, go buy the new 7 when it comes out. But I don't think I want to. I think I still want some more time on the iPhone just to make sure, you know, I made the right choice. I will say this. I went to the mall yesterday with the kids and the family, and I walked in and I saw this really, really nice wearable. And I was like, is that available for the iPhone? You know, because they had two iPhones literally right below it and seemingly connected. But the lady was like, no, but it's got more compatibility with Android Wear. And I just looked at my wife, and my wife looked at me. I'm like, go figure. When I finally jump ship and move over to the dark side, now all the functionality switches over to the Android side. that's my penance for having jumped ship, right? But I think, you know what, and I believe it was Paris that said it. It doesn't make sense to get in that, what he said was an arms race between those two, because that part of the technology literally changes more than GPUs and CPUs, in my personal opinion.
Yeah, I agreed. I mean, it's just on the phone side. I used to be in that arms race of, you feel like you got to get a new phone every year because, you know, the picture's a little bit clearer and the CPU's a little bit faster and they upgraded the memory. But when you really, we kind of touched on this a little bit last week when, you know, we're talking about consoles and we made a comparison to the phones. They all still play the same apps and they do the same things for the most part, unless a revolutionary new feature comes out on your phone. Why are you getting a new one every year? Honestly, like this iPhone 7, everything that they're showing about this iPhone 7, I see zero reason to upgrade from my 6S. If anything, this whole nonsense with them taking out the headphone jack really makes me pause, you know? So I don't see a reason to go run out and get an iPhone, you know, in September. If anything, you know, it would make more sense to wait at least until next year, whenever the 7S or the 8 or whatever heck is going to be called, and evaluate then. But for right now, the 6S is more than powerful enough. The screen looks great. Look, I can text people. I can take pictures. What else am I? You know, I can look. I can be on Twitter. What else do I need to do? Really? You know what I mean? Yeah. So, And even equate this back into video games. Again, with this Scorpio and this Neo and all that, like we were talking about last week, they're making it so you don't necessarily have to upgrade day one, because with forward compatibility and backwards compatibility, all the games that you currently have will still be playable, you know, when the new systems come out. They're not locking you out anymore. So you upgrade when it makes sense for you to upgrade. You know, now to the fact that you need a 4K TV and they're adding HDR into it and all that, people don't have those kind of funds to immediately be upgrading and buying all this stuff right away. So if you're playing on a 1080p television, do you really need a Neo? Do you really need a Scorpio day one? I don't think so. It really just comes down to the visual fidelity. I can't even say it. The Ebonics kicked in. Visual fidelity. that you want. If you're perfectly happy playing on a 1080p television, then I don't see a reason to get the new consoles day one. That's just me. You know, it would be my personal opinion. You should wait and evaluate to see if it makes sense for you. Now, if you're trying to go all in with 4K and HDR and you want the 4K Blu-rays and all that stuff, then maybe it makes more sense to go do that. But, you know, again, that's why I like where console gaming is going, because now it's about choice. It's not about you have to upgrade to keep playing the new games. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I don't have a 4K TV, but I'm still planning to buy a Scorpio. And the reason is because I would like to try out VR gaming on the console. So
is VR, but I don't know if a 4K TV is required for VR gaming though, is it?
No.
It's not. No, it's not.
It's not. It's not at all.
But if you want to do VR on Xbox, you're going to have to get Scorpio. Aaron Greenberg made that crystal clear.
Yeah, it's not going to work on the older console at all.
Right.
You or the 1S. You have to get Scorpio if you want to play that. So that's one of the main reasons why I'm buying it. You know. So, we'll see. We'll see once it comes out next year. So there you go. If you have any feedback, questions about this and other topics, remember to contact us. Fanmail at gamertagradio.com or give us a call 786-273-7GTR.
Welcome. Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And I think it's time for fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
Fan mail.
All right. So we have a lots of questions. Keep it up. Keep on sending more questions. We'll definitely will read it in a future episode of Gamer Tag Radio. And I believe Paris is dying to answer a question here, man.
This is a three-parter. So we'll take it piece by piece, and then the person that he's attacking or accusing or questioning can answer, and then we'll move on to the next one. So, okay. So this is from Silent Hunter. And he says, hey guys, I have three-part email for you all. First, for Pete about Division. I'm reading it as I see it. Pete, looks like you are not up to date with Division, my brother. Division is a vastly improved game compared to what you played at launch. Loot is better and missions are more rewarding. There are new PvE activities like high-value targets, which gives you the guaranteed high-end or sometimes legendary gear sets. Two new incursions are much better than Falcon Loss and give guaranteed legendary loot. Dark Zone is much more balanced with new gear score brackets, and loot is also much better. I have 9 legendary gear sets in like 1 week. Grind is gone completely. New Underground DLC is also great and adds new depth and fun to the game. You should give game another shot on consoles, not on PC, because PC version is a broken mess thanks to hackers. Also, you are wrong about Division being bullet total sponge game. Division is a RPG, and just like all RPGs, if you are under level character, your gear is also under level, then enemies will not go down easily. And if you're a higher level player with named high-end guns and legendary gear sets, then you can bring down any boss in seconds. That is exactly the same case with Destiny. If you're not leveled up properly, then it will take you forever to bring down an orange shield boss in Destiny. This is the case with all loot-based RPG games. It's not fair to criticize Division when other loot-based RPG games are also doing the same thing. That is all I have to say about the Division. Pete, all right.
So
the floor is yours.
In retort, I didn't just play it at launch. I've played it with every single iteration that's come out. I've played the Underground, I think a level 22 or level 23 on the Underground. I've done the Falcon Loss, and I've done all of the incursions. That being said, it's still a bullet sponge game. It's still the same concept. And it's actually, the bullet sponginess is a lot more when you're playing on the Division versus Destiny. Obviously, the similarities and the comparisons are always going to be there with these two. Dark Zone, honestly, outside of after Falcon Lost dropped, I honestly haven't played as much Dark Zone, short of maybe jumping in with a couple of friends for maybe an hour or so, just to maybe do the daily or the weekly challenges and stuff like that. But as far as Underground, it's fun, and I like how Massive was able to say, okay, we're going to do procedurally generated environments for the new DLC. The only thing that changes essentially is the path that you take to get to it. At the end of the day, it's still the same level, much like, the Destiny raids and stuff like that. I don't know if the level of cooperation or requirement to communicate is as paramount as it is in Destiny. Not to say that the Division has completely crapped the bed a la other games that have released that came out with a lot of, fanfare. It just hasn't been able to live up to it. And I don't know if that's more of a red flag on the Division, or is it just because maybe Destiny, obviously, which is its comparative brother, is just that much better. It's also had another year on top of it, a year and change on top of it, to succeed. Everybody plowed into Destiny at the beginning, saying it wasn't enough, it didn't have a story, things were overpowered. But people gave the game time. Not to say the Division can't do that. It can. I think the fans have just become a little more wary in that last year and a half, and they're more skeptical whether a company like Ubisoft can deliver, you know, an RPG slash shooter, because let's be fair. The success of a game is a lot harder to do these days. I'm hoping it can, and I'm hoping honestly that it pulls me back out. Right now, Destiny has my attention because of the new Rise of Iron coming out in a month and change. So, you know, that's the new hotness. So I'm trying to get my PS4 character leveled up so that I can succeed in that. And Paris, still waiting for you to send me the invite. But yeah, I want The Division to wake up out of its coma and draw me over to it, because honestly, I do miss it. I just don't know if I'm going to have enough people to play with online.
You will. The listeners will help you out, Pete.
Hope so.
Hey, I just want to say, Chris in Australia, I've said nothing other than I just read the email. And Pete said everything. I'm not touching this. I'm not touching it. And Pete, I think you should read part two since it's addressed to me.
Okay. All right. And well, then who's going to read for the Danny part? Let's have Danny read that one to you. So then that way, yeah.
Okay.
Danny's not reading.
Danny, please read part two and I will address this.
Man, I'm like sick. All right. Part two. All right, Mr. Paris, sir, tell me, what will you do or how you will react if Microsoft releases Halo 6 next year, but for some reason decides to delay or not to release on Windows 10 day and date, and keep it for Xbox consoles only to push the sales of Scorpio? I'm telling you, 180 will happen once Scorpio is out. Just be ready for it, and you will buy Scorpio. I know it. Keep telling everyone that you will not buy it, but I know you will buy it. That's all I have to say. Paris?
Okay. So, Silent Hunter, thank you for this comment. But I have to get on my little pulpit for a second and do a mini rant. I'm tired of people getting on social media telling me how to spend my money. That is the most annoying thing ever. If I said I'm not getting it and I've given a reason why I'm going to get it, why would I buy it? That makes zero sense. And to answer your original question, if Halo 6 didn't show up day one on Windows 10, I'm not shedding a tear, because in my personal opinion, the Halo franchise is I'm done. I really could care less about Halo.
Oh my
right
God.
Now. You know what I mean? Halo 5 was such a disappointment. I can't even say it. Halo 5 was such a disappointment to me that I'm not anticipating Halo 6. And it's funny, we're in our little chat. We were even saying the other day, we were kind of speculating about stuff with Scorpio. And I was like, look, guarantee you 100% next E3, they're going to tease Halo 6 and everyone's going to lose their freaking minds. And then holiday 2018, if 343 keeps up the current track record that they've had, we're all going to be let down by that story again. Halo has now become a game that needs to prove it to me that I want to sit and waste my time playing it. I don't know if I want to invest in it anymore. That's just me. You know what I mean? I don't necessarily like the direction the multiplayer has gone. That Halo 5 story was a hot mess that just completely turned me off from where they were going with this franchise. So no, if it does not come day one, that's not something that's going to make me go buy Scorpio. You know, if anything, I can't tell you a Microsoft first party game that if it was only on Xbox, that it would make me second guess myself and want to go get a Scorpio. I cannot tell you what that game is right now. With all that said, I'll never say never when it comes to Scorpio, but it's not something as we sit here today on August 21st, 2016, that I'm going to buy, because I have no need for it. With Xbox Anywhere, my PC plays the Xbox games that I want to play. So I'm fine.
And technically, I feel that Microsoft are not going to do that. If they're pushing Windows 10 and Xbox One to have all the games available to all systems, they're not going to do that.
Oh, it would be a PR nightmare at this point if all of a sudden they pulled a game like a Halo or Gears and pulled it. Oh, that's only on Xbox. We're not bringing it to Windows 10. If they did that, it would completely defeat the purpose of Xbox Anywhere, the point of their message that has they've had since E3 of we're not telling you what hardware to play your games on as long as you play our games. That's the message that they've been putting out. You know, if you go watch that Giant Bomb interview from E3 with Phil Spencer, I think he said it very well on there. They're not concerned about your hardware anymore. They're not trying to lock you in to only being on Xbox. The fact that they own Windows 10, they're leveraging that and they're bringing their games to the Windows 10 platform. And they did say there could be instances of a game where it doesn't make sense for it to be on the console or for it to be on the PC. The fact that Halo Wars 2 is going to be on Windows 10 and on Xbox One, I think that's a great example of a game that they could have made exclusive to one platform or the other, but they didn't. So I don't see a triple A scenario game that they're going to limit to one platform or the other. I think all their big hitting games will be on Windows 10 and on Xbox day one. And like I said, if they're not, they're going to have to explain why, because people will be upset if they don't. Like I said, me being on Windows 10, if all of a sudden you took a game, let's just say it is Halo, for example. All of a sudden, Halo 6, nope, that's only on Xbox. We're not going to put it on Windows 10. Please justify why you're doing that. I understand separating the multiplayer side of it so keyboard and mouse don't have an advantage. But other than that, the camp, just like what they're doing with Gears 4, the campaign and the co-op portions, you should be able to play those cross-play with Xbox players. So why wouldn't you put that on day one? Would make no sense. So again, thank you for sending that to me, but I think people seriously, look, here's two things. I'm really going to rant. Two things. First, people need to start spelling my name right. And second, don't tell me how to spend my money. How about that?
There you go. All right, the last question of that from
all right, now to part three for Danny. Danny, yes. Brother, what are your top five games of the year so far? My top five so far are the Hitman episode series. Every episode so far is fantastic. You guys must try it. The Division, couldn't have told you that. Wow, I'm surprised he said that. Dark Souls 3, Doom, and Inside. Honorable mentions, UC4, and Quantum Break.
Ooh,
wow.
Okay.
Please share your top five. Thanks, and keep up the good work.
All right, so here's my top five, and it's not in particular order. It's just I'm just naming some games that I like so far that I played this year. Superhot is available for PC, Xbox One. I play this first on Steam, and I got completely hooked. And I know after that, they released on Xbox One. Uncharted 4, I think, still one of my favorites. Far Cry Primal, I think, is a pretty decent, fun game, I think. Inside is up there. Ratchet & Clank, Paris recommended. And I highly recommend this game for you guys to buy it. And then I think now it's cheaper, right?
It's 40 bucks. It's 40 bucks, and now it's even cheaper.
I like Quantum Break, and I also like this game. This it's a 2D action RPG game, Hyper Light Drifter. That's also available for PC and consoles and stuff. So try it out. And that's it. Thanks for the question, man.
All right. Well, again, hey, thank you. It was like we had to do that one because it literally came in right as we started to record, and I felt like we needed to read that. Now, I have another one that we should read because this person was at Gamescom.
Ooh, okay.
This is about VR. So,
all right.
And if I'm saying your name wrong, I apologize and I feel your pain because can't nobody spell my name right either. Okay, so his name is Thorsten, and he's saying, "Hello, I'm Thorsten from Germany. I won't read Gamertag. And I'm listening to your podcast, I would say, for a year now. I'm spending a lot of time on the road, and I'm always looking forward to your next episodes. It occurred to me that Paris," and he spelled my name right, God bless you, brother, "and I share the name." Okay, he said, "It occurred to me that Paris and I share the same opinions 99% of the time. So you other guys should all listen to him and his wisdom."
No wonder you wanted to read this question.
Of course. I no wonder. He's so excited.
No. Yes. This is legit. So then, so he says that, and then he's like, "Tomorrow is the last day of Gamescom 2016, and against my usual taste, I tried the PlayStation VR. As a Batman fan, I started with Arkham VR, which totally blew me away and woke my interest in VR. If it wasn't for your discussion about Eagle Flight and Star Trek Bridge Command, I wouldn't have tried it, and to be honest, they were both great games. I can confirm what you said before. You can't understand what VR is if you haven't experienced it yourself. Therefore, whoever gets the chance should really try it out. By the way, I was surprised I didn't get any motion sickness at any game at all. That was my experience with VR that I wanted to share with you. So keep up the good work. I'm Batman, hashtag let me dream in all caps. Greetings from Germany, Thorsten. And then he says, P.S. My girlfriend, obviously not Batman, and I, he goes, the real Batman, let me dream at the Arkham VR booth. It's a picture of them at the booth using PlayStation VR. So that's really cool. So again, thank you for that. We appreciate that. That was a great email. And of course, they should listen to me because Miss Cleo, they always telling you, boy, I always tell you what's going on. But no, I mean, he's right, because if you guys remember, I was so skeptical of VR until I slapped on the Oculus Rift and did Minecraft. And I was like, oh, I get it now. And then at E3, like I said, I got to do the Star Trek Bridge Command. And that was a great experience, a great demo. I mean, it's not a full game, but the fact that we were all sitting there together on the bridge of the Enterprise and, you know, I'm working the shields and, you know, transporters and all that stuff. And you got the captain in his seat and you look around and the people are actually sitting there doing the thing. That was amazing. That was fun. I really enjoyed that. Eagle Flight, again, I don't feel it's a full game, but it was a great demo of the potential of what you can do in VR. Mm-hmm. So I get it, man. And just to really bring this back, the fact that he was on PlayStation VR, this goes back to our discussion last week. This is why I think Neo is coming out now, because they want people playing this on Neo. They don't want people playing this on PlayStation 4 because the experience is going to be degraded, in my opinion. So I think what they're going to try and show off is going to be Neo experiences versus just PlayStation 4 experiences. But I'm glad he enjoyed it, because I have yet to do PlayStation VR. I've not done it. I've only done Oculus Rift so far. I've not done Vive. No, I take that back. I believe Star Trek was on. No, it was Oculus. I've only done Oculus.
No. That was Vive, Paris.
It was Vive?
Tried. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. It was Vive.
Okay. Yeah. So I've done Oculus and I've done Vive, but I've yet to do PlayStation VR. But yeah, man, what do you guys think? I don't keep talking.
Still haven't tried VR at all. I almost played Star Trek, but I didn't. But I want to check out also this game, the new Resident Evil VR game. That was like a big hit during E3. Everybody was talking about that. So I wanted to try that. So I'm excited. We'll see. Is this going to make me buy a PlayStation VR now? The end of is it October it comes out? Don't know yet. I need to see that game that's going to make me want to buy the VR device. So maybe next year, 2017, to me, in my opinion, is going to be a better year to buy a VR, because there's going to be a lot more games available for everything, for Oculus, Vive, and PlayStation VR. So I think it's too early, in my opinion. So, Pete?
I don't know if there's enough games still out for me to warrant one in the immediate future. I do want to say that games like what's it that I played 2 years ago, the Elite Dangerous on VR, mad fun, although it was kind of a little queasiness inducing on my part. I would love to see a game similar to maybe Detroit. Was Detroit in VR? I don't think it was, but I would love to see something like that be, you know, something that you could do, you know, total immersion, giving you, you know, because it's the first person type game with decision making. So it kind of puts you in the reality of the situation. So mm-hmm. I would like to see something like that take place, you know, because that's ultimately what VR games do, right? Is they give you that full immersion situation. So, you know, giving you something like that a la Mass Effect, where you can make decisions in game on, you know, on the spot. I think that would be a great opportunity for that whole thing. Other than that, though, I've just outgrown it. I don't know if I'm ready to sit there and look a fool in my living room or in my office, just, you know, flailing around. I will say, though, it is kind of surreal sitting, like, because when Danny and I were watching Paris do the Star Trek Bridge Command at E3, we were just sitting there and it was literally all quiet. There's nothing for us to see, so it's really hard to kind of like understand or grasp what's going on. But, you know, seeing Paris just sitting there just moving his hands shifting his movements, looking over, reaching for things, and then just people are just out talking, and we're also sitting there just like, this is what it's like.
We got to see the TV of them. What they were doing.
But seeing that just little squares, essentially, because that's essentially all we're really seeing is just, you know, a flat screen, but not getting that full on immersion like the people that are playing. It's kind of like being, you know, the unpopular kids at the lunch table. You know, everybody else is doing their own thing, and me and Danny are just sitting there like, What's up? Like, because they can't hear us, because I'm like looking at Paris, I'm giving him the middle finger while he's doing stuff, and he's looking at me, but he's not seeing me because obviously he's got the screen in front of him. But it's just like, yeah, this is what it's like to be ignored. Great.
but I think the most important thing out of that was you guys told me the entire time I just had a dumb grin on my face the whole time while I was doing it. So I was enjoying what was going on, which end of the day is what really matters. You know what I mean? As long as they can bring experiences that people can interact with and it's fun, then hey, if I look like an idiot to you on the outside, so what? Because on the inside, this is great.
Now that game, you have to have multiple VR devices in order to really, really get the full experience. So now I wonder, what if you just buy the game and it's just you by yourself? How that's going to work?
Well, again, that's why I don't think this. And I know they told us that, yeah, this is a real game and it's coming out in 2017. But they still got a lot of questions to answer on how that's going to truly work. Because like you said, it sounds like, is it all local play where we all got to have like four VR sets in one house to be able to do it? Or can we do it online? You know what I mean? These are the things that need to be answered, which we still don't know yet. And speaking of the online, I don't think I've ever heard of a VR game that can be playable cooperative online yet. Have you?
Nope, I haven't.
Yeah.
I haven't at all. Well, actually, isn't it Minecraft considered to be a online experience too? Because you said that once you joined a server, you were checking out other people.
That is true. You're right. Okay. Because you're in Minecraft. So there's other people that aren't even using VR that are in whatever Minecraft server you're on, and you're walking around and interacting. So I guess in that sense, that would be an online game.
But I think you're talking about more of a VR online only experience.
Exactly.
That I really don't know. Unless another listener knows about this, please let us know. If we're wrong, please email us and let us know.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it. You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
Can we read one more?
Yeah, I got one more we should read. I just have it in front of me, so I'll just read it. But I got one more, and then we probably go ahead and get out of here. So
yeah,
this is from Tim, and he's saying, "Hey, Danny, Pete, and Paris, like the show and what you guys do for gamers with your reviews and opinions. Keep up the awesome work." Mm-hmm. My question with micro... Danny. I love your commentary. He always comment as I read. He goes, "My question is, with Microsoft pushing Play Anywhere, now will the Scorpio..." Okay, let me read it again. "My question is, with Microsoft pushing Play Anywhere now, with the Scorpio coming out next holiday, not contain a disc drive..." I can't read. I'm sorry. I'm going to do this one more time.
You want one of us to take over for you?
No, I got it. I blame Danny interrupting people. My question... "My question is, with Microsoft pushing Play Anywhere now, will the Scorpio coming out next holiday not contain a disc drive and instead maybe a bigger hard drive? I know you guys have covered this before, but the Play Anywhere is for digital purchases only and not physical copies. So are they going away with disc drives and maybe going with an external drive pluggable through USB? They aren't that expensive, and Microsoft can manufacture them real cheap and sell it as an accessory, which only reads from their consoles. Bonus question for Pete and Paris, the PC Master Race guys. Sorry, Danny. Well, you interrupt anyways. With tech coming out fast and you guys able to do 4K gaming now, wouldn't it seem the Scorpio is going to be outdated when it launches 15 months from now? What I mean is, the specs they promise at launch, you have now. So what do you think your specs will be like 15 months from now? Why invest in something that isn't the latest? And for that one listener who said you guys never say anything about the bad side of PC gaming, PCs have come a long way, and it's a lot easier to keep your PC current and up to date. It's just mainly drivers you have to update, but most manufacturers already have updates out before the game launch or within the first few days. Like the opinions, keep them coming. It's the only way we can get change. So, Tim, thank you. The first one, and Pete, please jump in, whatever. So the first part, we say with Play Anywhere, I highly doubt that they're going to take out the disc drive because they're going to push 4K Blu-ray, just like they're pushing 4K Blu-ray on the Xbox One S. That is a selling feature for both devices. So I totally get what he's saying. If you want to take advantage of Play Anywhere, you got to go digital. You can't buy physical copies. So again, it's choice. For people that want the choice of Play Anywhere, they're going to buy digital copies of the game. They're not going to buy a disc. But for people that don't care about Play Anywhere, for people that are console, like Danny has no need for Play Anywhere. So why would he buy a digital copy unless he just wants a digital copy of the game? If he can get a cheaper option of the disc, then go do that, right? You know what I mean? You find it on sale, whatever, used copy, whatever the case may be, go get the disc versus getting the digital copy. But I get what he's saying with the external drive. Maybe Microsoft could sell it as an accessory, but like he's saying, they're so cheap now. I don't see it being worth the bother for Microsoft to have their own Microsoft Xbox branded, you know, USB external drive. It just doesn't make sense because there's just too many other options out there that you could probably get cheaper. And why would someone go buy what would most likely be the more expensive Xbox version of an external USB drive? So I'm not seeing that. I don't know if you guys want to jump in on that.
Well, one. Also, I think
Paris, Paris, very quick. How do you know I'm not gonna? How do you know I don't care about it?
I'm just using you as an example. Fine. I don't care. Whatever.
Because never know what's gonna happen in the future. Hey, I might change my mind. You never know, Paris.
How about this, Lil Johnny? Then, all right, awesome. We'll say Lil
Johnny. No, but I was going back to the Microsoft accessory only for the console. It just, you alienate your player base. You alienate your consumers. There's way too many options, and with all of the USB hard drives that are out today, I don't see Microsoft wasting R&D dollars on trying to develop a Microsoft branded USB hard drive that's dedicated to the Xbox or to the, you know, to whatever device they want to push to the consumer. It's too far in the game, and there's other manufacturers that already have that handled and there are experts or, you know, subject matter experts in that field. There's no need to just do that. I mean, they kind of tried that with the HD DVD back with the Xbox 360. We all know how that worked out. So I don't think, if you really want to go far back, look at how Sega Genesis did with the Sega CD. We saw how that worked out. So I don't think it makes sense or behooves Microsoft to try to, and there's no such thing as manufacture them real cheap, because they're going to build it for 60 and they're going to sell it for 120 when you can just go out and buy one three times the storage for the same price. So I don't think it's going to make sense.
I think this is just the beginning with the whole digital stuff. Years from now, we're going to see companies going straight digital. Not now. Now is not the right time. Give it a couple, between like maybe 5-10 years from now, maybe you'll see all these companies just going straight digital, in my opinion. So by them having this feature, Play Anywhere, that's just the beginning, because if you actually think about it, having a game digital for you to play on PC and Xbox, that's hurting the retail stores. If you actually think about it, you're not buying a physical disc. But Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo, they need to keep that relationship, you know, great with retail stores. So that's why they will have the physical disc still available at their stores.
And think about it. I mean, just from a size perspective, disc drives have not changed in 3 or 4, maybe 10 years in their overall size. Maybe the housings have changed. The hard drive sizes have. You can now get a 1 terabyte drive that fits in the size of maybe half of a credit card, right? Maybe a little bit thicker, but we're no longer in the age of the 2.5-inch hard drive being the requirement. Look what happens to the MacBook Airs. You know, they've got those PCM HD, you know, those PCM hard drives that aren't that much bigger than maybe the size of a large credit card or a wallet, you know, half of the size of a wallet. So you can get away with having both. You can get the disk drive and the bigger hard drive on the same unit and still retain the small footprint of an Xbox One S. And, you know, and still, we haven't seen physically what Scorpio is supposed to look like. So we don't know. Is it going to be the same size as an Xbox One S? Are we going to go back to, you know, to the VCR, you know, that is Xbox One? Who knows? We still don't know. So it's still gonna be a while. And then for the second question with the rate, we kind of touched on it with one of the last couple of questions before we went to fan mail. But again, we don't know what Microsoft has in store. I don't think they've openly come out and said, yes, we're using this exact GPU. I think we're all speculating that they're going to use the AMD, the Polaris GPU. We don't know is it going to be a 280 from AMD. So 4K is still, it's still not 100% out these days, you know, just because, you know, you need the TV, you need the GPU that can push it. So 4K gaming is still going to be on the rise. It still hasn't hit its peak 15 months from now. So it will be around the same time. And you also have to understand that they're going to need lead time to develop and be able to mass produce the GPUs and all the other, because at the end of the day, the GPU is going to be the part that drives the most. That's going to be driving the 4K gaming. You can get away with it with lesser cards for the streaming video stuff, but for 4K gaming, it's still on the rise. It still hasn't hit its peak. So I think they're going to be fine if they come up with whatever hardware piece there, you know, they have now, moving forward for the next 8 to 10 months. Before launch.
Well, right? Yeah, just throw my two cents on there. Also on that, you have to realize, because what he's saying is, you know, yeah, the Scorpio specs from what they said with the 6 teraflops and all that will be outdated. It's already outdated technically, because my PC is more powerful today, like he was saying. But by holiday 2017, that spec, if you look at it as a PC, will be outdated, because the 1080 Ti is going to be out by then, and whatever AMD GPU is going to be out by then. So yeah, it for sure is going to be outdated. But the point is, with a console, see, developers can lock in on a specific hardware system with a console, right? So even though it's not as powerful as what a PC is going to be, they're going to be able to lock down and get every ounce of power they possibly can out of that specific sock that's going to be on Scorpio, right? So Albert Pinello was on the Inner Circle podcast, and he talked about this, that yeah, Scorpio should be able to do 4K 60 frames per second. Look, to me, it's vaporware until it comes out, so I'm not believing anything until I actually see it. But the point he was making was, they're not telling developers they have to hit 4K 60 frames per second. They can use that to power in other ways. So we'll see when the holiday comes. It's just that Microsoft is saying that we're not upscaling to 4K, and then that Scorpio will be capable of doing native 4K gaming. Will it be at 60 frames per second? Will it be at 30 frames per second? We don't know. And that's going to be up to the developers as these dev kits roll out, as they lock down whatever the sock's going to be for a Scorpio. And we start seeing, like, E3 next year is going to be very telling to that, because that's probably going to be the first time we're going to see developers openly start talking about launch games for Scorpio. And we're going to see what specs, what they're targeting, etc. So, you know, the fact that it won't be as powerful as whatever PC is going to be out in 2017 doesn't matter, because again, it's a console. It's one piece of hardware across the board. So developers can target that hardware and they can get as much as they possibly can out of it. So, you know, we'll see next year. Like I said, I may not be necessarily getting Scorpio, but I'm excited to see what Scorpio is truly going to be. Hell, I'm excited to see what Neo is going to be. It won't be what Scorpio is, but I'm curious how PlayStation is going to sell it on September 7th. And I'm very curious next year to see just how powerful developers will be able to make, you know, how much power they'll be able to squeeze out of Scorpio next year for these quote unquote 4K games. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, man. September 7th, man. Woo! Neo, it's on. And Paris, getting ready. Call of Duty. XP 2016, I believe. I have a dilemma. Next month.
I have a dilemma, by the way, and it kind of hurts me because I'm conflicted on what to do.
Ooh, what happened? What's
so the you know, the media night's going to be on September 1st, right? I guess that's a Thursday. That's the same night as my fantasy football draft.
Ooh.
And it's a money league too, so I'm a little salty. I'm put it this way. I may be sitting up in whatever they're presenting and not paying attention on my phone drafting. I'm just letting you know that right now.
Okay.
What day is that again?
September 1st.
Yeah.
Our draft is at 5:30 p.m. Pacific. I guarantee you the briefing, whatever they do, is probably going to be around about 6 p.m., 7 p.m. that time. I already know it. So hopefully I will already be done with the draft. But look, if I'm not, I'm drafting. I'm paying attention because this is money. I'm not losing.
Okay, I'm good. I'm good. Yeah, I don't have any dress.
All right, so let's wrap it up, guys. Head over to gamertagradio.com or play.it/gamertag. Listen to our past episodes. And when you want your feedback, send us feedback, questions, good or bad, to fanmail@gamertagradio.com or call us 76-273-7GTR. That's 76-273-7GTR. Or go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You could also leave a message there. And that's about it. You know, a couple weeks from now, we're going to go to Call of Duty XP. Going to be checking out the PlayStation meeting. Of course, it's going to be about PlayStation Neo and who knows what else. And maybe Nintendo next month too. NX, we're still wondering if that's ever going to happen.
I'm sure it's going to happen.
Yeah, there's no official date yet, but we'll see. We'll keep you posted. Yeah. So that's about it. Until next time, we're out. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.